Hello and welcome to Talk Word. I'm Marty, and today I'm talking to hilarious comedian Kevin McCaffrey.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Kevin is a successful stand-up comic, comedy writer. What else?
I think that covers a lot of it. Just like comedian. Someone was asking me the other day what the difference is between when you say comedian or comic. And yeah. I think like there just mostly isn't. But I think like comic, when I like if I'm talking about a stand-up comic, I'll be like, oh, this comic I know. But when people ask me what I do, I'm like, oh, comedian. Just cause I figure that covers like acting and hosting and all that, you know, all that jazz.
Comedian can be funny person in the entertainment industry.
I think more so, right? Yeah. So so I came from I just came from a weird brainstorm at MTV.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, which is weird cuz
are they doing more non-music programming?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. They're doing I mean, I think they wanted to have something to do with music, but
they want music in the background?
Yes.
And also in the beginning.
Yeah. And we talk
to musicians.
And when
the credits roll.
Yeah. They want rappers or someone who looks like they may have rapped in the past.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Also, it seems like at MTV, everything is hosted by Rob Dyrdek for some reason.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought it was like, oh, we're going to pitch comedy ideas. And it's like, they basically just want like full television shows. It's like, oh, this is a significant brainstorm then.
They're like, so we have 8 different blocks open completely.
Yeah.
And we need to have a... game show. We want a treasure hunt show. We want a reality game show, treasure hunt show.
We want the new TRL, but not TRL.
Right. We don't want any music involved whatsoever, but it has to be a countdown of something.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, I was doing MTV stuff before here. I guess that falls under the comedian umbrella, and now we're hanging out, and then I'm doing stand-up stuff after this. So
where are you performing?
Going up to the Creek.
Oh, the Creek. The Creek in the Cave?
Yep.
They still call it that?
Mm-hmm. Long Island City.
Long Island City.
Yeah, man. So yeah, well, a little bit of everything today, stand-up, podcast, and writing.
That's, the Creek is very, I would say it's an unrefined looking club.
Sure. It's, gritty. It's got a gritty realism about it.
Yeah, it's just kind of, like a room with a bunch of chairs in it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's,
I remember it correctly, there was like a, there's like a curtain, and there's like a bunch of chairs,
and there's like
it's a bare looking place.
Yeah, okay. but they have like a pretty good like tech situation, like the projector and video wise up there. So it's an interesting spot, and sort of like one of the godmothers of New York alt comedy runs it, Rebecca Trent. Like, she owns the place. And it's also actually, oddly, like a really nice Mexican restaurant. Like, not crazy pricey, but just like good Mexican food on the other side of this like alt comedy, you know, clubhouse. And then, but it's cool. So, heading there after this for a little stand up.
What time is your slot?
I mean, if I get there by 9, I'm cool.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
This won't be a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah,
it's only 2 hours and 45-minute podcast.
As we're talking, we're downtown. Very, very little comedy happens in this part of New York City where we are right now.
There is an opportunity for you. There's nothing down here. There's some of the oldest bars in the United States are down here.
They're kind
of
cool looking. Like, walking by, I always want to go in, but I'm just never, you know, I'm not a Wall Street guy.
It's not really a... it's kind of in the ilk of what am I thinking of? What's the one in the East Village? McSorley's.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So McSorley's is from like the 70s.
Yeah, like sawdusty wooden. Yeah.
Right. So there's a place like that that's it's called like Francis McSomethings, and it's from like Revolutionary War times.
Right. There's muskets. Hidden
stuff. There's muskets. Right. There's like powdered wigs. There's wooden teeth. Yeah. There's stuff like that.
Cool.
And there's a place called Dead Rabbit, which is super old,
and
crazy expensive and tiny. Like all the places downtown were built when I guess people were smaller anyway.
Yes, people were smaller, and there weren't cars.
Right.
So it'd just be like, horses. You need the width of a horse.
There's
in
places
the street,
to park your horses down here.
Right.
And there's almost no... There's one place on the water that's very good, but it's a new place.
Right.
But there's only... Yeah, there's no comedy down here.
No, it's just people who ruined America.
You could trailblaze.
Totally.
You could have a whole stand-up thing going on.
I know, I would be... Yeah, it seems like...
We could work on
for
that.
Someone who knows how to produce things, that sounds like an opportunity.
So what else did I want to ask you today? For comedy stuff, it seems like... Well, we were talking about you label someone a comedian. And I was looking, you see a lot of people on the social medias and people that are really big. You see people who are really big on Instagram or really big on Twitter, and they are like YouTube celebrities.
Yes.
And the YouTube celebrities call themselves comedians.
Yeah.
But they, you, if you ask them to go on stage to perform, they wouldn't be able to.
No. You know? some of them have tried or do. Like, I feel like it's sort of petered out a little bit. But a couple of years ago, there would be like, you'd hear occasionally about like a Vine star like booking one night at a stand-up club. And they would like sell it out. They'd sell out like 250 seats.
Yeah.
And just like.
Like, what do they do on stage?
I mean, suck.
They just film, like, for the most part. They film something for, like, 6 seconds and then repeat it over and over
I think
over
it was,
again?
Like, people who had this, like, weird, it was like a bubble, you know, and they had this massive success with these six-second videos, which is all just, like, running into shit or being, like, when you're, you know, when your mom is late for dinner and then you make a face and that's a bit. And then,
if
so
only,
they,
wouldn't it be nice if comedy was that easy?
Oh, my God. And I think that's the thing is they thought it was. And, I mean, yeah, if I thought it was like that, it'd be like, oh, let's absolutely. Go sell out a club.
I got a great idea for this MTV pitch meeting. just a show of 6 second videos.
Uh huh.
It's a 6 second show.
Yes.
With music.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. I worked for a production company where they did try to. They hired like a bunch of Vine stars to do a sketch show, and it's like, guys, they can't do a 2 minute sketch. That's like a year's worth of work for them. They can't do it. They tried to get them, trying to monetize them in different ways.
Yeah.
But with most of these internet things, it's like, no, the thing is the thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, the people who watch PewDiePie or whatever on YouTube, they don't watch television.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and also, he can't make good TV.
PewDiePie is the guy that got in trouble for all the Nazi
stuff. He's anti-Semitic,
yeah.
I mean, who isn't these days? It seems like it's back.
It seems like everybody is all of a sudden.
I know. It's disheartening.
Everybody's racist all of a sudden and anti-Semitic, and it's because everyone's coming out of the closet, right?
Yes, that's what it is. They've been there this whole time.
Right. It's not like people are all of a sudden hating.
No.
They just were hating in private.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, with all of the Trumpism, everybody's like, oh, it's okay for me to be horrible in the open. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not. It's not, Grandma. Please get back in the racist closet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, only they're not grandma. They're like 20-something or 30-something years old. You're like, really?
And like almost all really ugly. That's what I find most impressive about the white supremacy thing in general. Is every white supremacist's worldview is proved wrong by their face. Mm. Who's the most handsome white supremacist?
Yeah.
You would think those superior genes would come out genetically that way, but they all look like they quit halfway through making a spooky Halloween costume. It's like they did the teeth and then they quit on the face.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's but yeah, it's all they're just emboldened.
Yeah.
I believe, you know. So that's kind of a shitty trend for 2017.
It is.
But yeah, the fucking PewDiePie, who just was he's like a Swedish video game reviewer.
Right.
And he was one of the biggest channels on YouTube. Huge. Review video games. What's there to hate Jews about?
Yeah.
Like, it's an insane thing.
And then he was trying to get people to do pranks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everyone's like, what? But, and what was bothering me was it was coming out all over the news. Like, this guy's, they're pulling their Disney sponsorship. They're pulling the, you know, he's losing his YouTube sponsorship.
Yeah.
But nowhere in any of the articles did it ask the guy, hey, why are you doing all this anti-Jew stuff? Like, no one asked him that.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty basic thing.
Everyone was kind of like, we're taking away his sponsorship. But no one said, hey, guy, why did you do this?
Yes.
Never got a comment about that.
Right.
It's like,
You just hear the repercussions.
Yeah.
But no one's like, but... But this happened, and how?
Yeah, it's like, but why? We never got the why.
What video game was he reviewing where he's like, you know,
It'd
be a lot better without the Jews.
Exactly.
Yeah, very weird. But yeah, so there was a bunch of those, but I feel like that bubble for the crossover Vine, YouTube to comedian, I think that's mostly.
Well, it becomes, I think it's a huge wave of the digital revolution became such that anybody could do anything.
Yeah.
With the equipment available, all of a sudden you didn't have to be on NBC to have a television show. You could get a camera with your with your telephone. I almost called it a telephone.
Right.
With your iPhone that could shoot video as good as a like Red Cam. All of a sudden,
yeah.
And you can make a really good looking thing and throw it on YouTube and be a for all intents and purposes, TV star.
Yeah, it basically took away all the regulations, and how appropriate we're talking about that on Wall Street, where the studio is located. But they deregulated the entertainment industry, and it sucked.
And it blew up.
It seemed like it was good, but it's like, no, some of these middlemen need to be there.
Yes, people shouldn't have a voice.
Yeah, you should have to.
Many people shouldn't have that loudspeaker.
You should have a good voice before you get a voice.
Exactly.
Before anyone hears it.
That's definitely what Twitter taught us. It was like, everybody shouldn't be heard.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Nope. You can have your thoughts, but
keep them to yourself.
Yeah.
I am old, and I'm feeling older and older as days go by, and I know how things become popular and then they burn out, and I know now, like, the IPO for Snapchat is starting, and everyone's talking about the IPO for Snapchat, and I can tell you now, Snapchat is not going to last because I just signed up for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, I know things are going to die because I get wind of it, and I'm like, oh, I'll make an account for Vine.
Right. And then it's
next
over.
Next day, Vine closes. God darn it.
The Grim Reaper. Yeah.
Like, I just started tweeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
This thing might catch on.
Twitter's the one I like. That's the one I've stuck with.
I do
with.
Like Twitter.
And, like, Instagram works. I feel like pictures will always last.
Pictures are good.
You know? But, yeah, Snapchat's, like, sort of the...
I don't know where the buttons are.
I don't
know. I'm trying to send things. I can't even figure out how to send things to myself.
It's the generation marker. It's like, that's the first thing where I'm old. Yeah. I got everything. Yeah. Up until now, I understood everything. And Snapchat, it's like, you know, I have one.
Yeah.
And, you know, as when you're a performer, I guess you're supposed to.
You have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, someone else is going to be Kevin McCaffrey.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Act like you.
Might as well get the name first, at least. And, but yeah, I end up like, I feel like I only have it. I receive messages from my younger brother, Joe. And it's like, the only other posts I have on it are messages I meant to send direct to him, like once a month, you know. So yeah, same with that. But
I do like the face filter thing. And the only time I actually have used it was with my young niece and nephew.
Oh well, that's
who
nice. Yeah,
we're very good at it, and are six.
Yeah, gotta have
five
some
and
tutors.
6 years old.
Yeah,
and they were on it like easily.
Yeah,
we're all over it. And after they stopped using it, I was like, how do I get back to that thing where I have a dog face?
Right.
That's adorable.
Yeah,
I can't use this anymore.
Yeah, hook me up, child.
And after you get past all the dog face and looking like a whatever thing they have on there, what is the point after that? It just you can send an image that disappears.
Yeah, it just goes away. And it was like, so people used it for dick pics for a while, but then people realized
you can
screen cap it.
And then CBS News got on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I'm
like, Charlie Rose, what are you doing on Snapchat?
I just heard someone on Pod Save America that was saying, like, they had, like, the head of the Snapchat news division, and he's like, their inauguration stuff got, like, 40 million views. It's like, it's crazy. I don't understand the impact of these numbers.
But then it went away.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, got 40 million views, but now you can't look at it because it's gone.
Right, but you experience that moment in time, yeah.
You've done Letterman.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of stuff as a stand-up comic.
Yeah, did stand-up on Letterman. Yeah, the biggest.
Would you call yourself a road comic?
I mean, I'm on the road a decent amount. I mean, it's more... I'm not... I guess I'm not a classic full-on road comic where it's like you're on the literal road driving for, like, you know, a month at a time, stringing together all these things. Usually, I guess I'm a fly to a place comic. You do the weekend, and then maybe I'll drive to a place in the region the weekend after that. So I'll be gone for like 2 weekends, but tie them together and then come back to New York.
Have you ever performed in Lake Tahoe?
I have not.
I feel like that's an old school comedy destination.
It is. Yeah, Lake Tahoe and the
Catskills,
yeah, is the other big one, right? But no, I've never performed in Vegas either. I've done, you know, it's like LA, sure, and then like mostly Midwest and, you know, the East, because it's like, as a New York-based comic, it's like, you know, usually you'll get booked at the ones that are closer to you, and then like all the LA comics are taking the west of the Mississippi's for the most part.
New York's a better comedy town than L.A.
As stand-ups, for sure, 100%. Yeah.
You can go up how many times a night in New York City if you really want it to.
If you really want to, like 5.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you should.
Right.
Like, I don't think most people get a lot out of that. You just end up, you know, reciting the same shit over and over. But, yeah, I mean, like, in a full week, I'll do, you know, if I'm in New York, like, you know, I'd say 7 to a dozen shows, you know?
What are your favorite haunts to to go up on.
Union Hall, as you know, is the best. Union Hall in Brooklyn, and the show I host there the first Thursday of
Serious Matters.
Serious Matters. It's my favorite show to do. That no hyperbole.
It's a great show.
That's my favorite, and
people should definitely go to that show.
Yeah, it's good.
First Thursday of every month.
Some variety stuff. It's almost like a cross between stand-up show and late night show, and do an interview.
It's intellectual.
A little bit. It can be.
It's like a smart person's. It's a comedy performance.
Yeah, and a lot of smart people doing dumb shit too. Yeah. which I like. So that is a big one. You know, the UCBs. I mean, like Whiplash on Mondays at UCB is probably like the best single stand up show in the city.
How often do you do that? I've never seen you at that big show.
I've done it like twice. So it's like, I mean. That show, the time I was on it, I think it was like John Mulaney was on it and Aziz dropped in. So it's like, it's hard to get spots on that show, but for good reason, because it's always really good.
Is that at UCB East?
No, the main UCB.
Okay.
Mondays at 11, it's free too. So that's a great one. There's a bar called Lucky Jack's on the Lower East Side. Wednesdays, that's great. So it's like really the... Oh, and Sweet, Seth Herzog's show, Sweet.
I have not been to
that. At the Slipper Room is fucking awesome. So like those... But honestly, the best shows in New York, the best stand-up shows are not at comedy clubs for the most part. It's at bars or, you know, like Union Hall has comedy shows most nights.
Yeah.
But it's also like a music space.
It's
and
more
stuff,
of a space.
So,
yeah.
So that's those kinds of places are where the best shows tend to be.
And it's all, I mean, it's shows that are organized by comedians that always seem to be the best shows.
Yeah,
because they kind of make it happen. It's not like a comedy club that's like booking people because it's a comedy club. It's like this random little place that is slow on Tuesday nights and some guy is like, oh, I could have a comedy show here.
Yeah, and a comedian will probably book, like, they know who the better comedians are more than 95% of club bookers who, you know, have different tastes. But, So those are some of the faves. But yeah, did Letterman. I'm on tour. I'm on the road out of town doing headline weekends places, probably two weekends a month, maybe, you know?
Are you writing treatment for shows and stuff when you pitch to like MTV? Do you have a bunch of shows in your head right now that you want to go somewhere?
I mean, I have like ones that I would actually want to do. I have like three, I guess. Three and a half, let's say.
Well, with like Amazon and Hulu and Netflix and all these places doing such cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different world for opportunity. If you have the, you know, the talent and
I hope
ideas,
so. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
Well, that show that I like so much, it ended up on True, where I don't understand why it's an untrue. I mean, True's really picked up a lot of cool comedy shows.
It's becoming full on comedy.
Yeah, it's becoming.
Yeah,
much more. But that show, those who can't.
Yeah, I know those dudes. Yeah,
that show is so funny.
Yeah, I feel bad. I haven't seen more of it because Andrew Orvidal's a friend of mine, who's the guy with the mustache.
Ah, it's such a good show.
But yeah.
But it started out as an Amazon series that didn't go forward on Amazon.
Yeah, and now it's on cable and
And I mean, like, True like lucked out with a show like that.
Oh, totally.
Because it's like golden, and it's so random. It's like shot in like Colorado or something.
Yeah, it is. They're all Colorado comics. Yeah, they like started the scene in Denver basically. Yeah. And
it's funny.
Yeah, totally.
What else did I want to ask you? Oh, you have to tell me an incredibly awkward story.
Oh yeah, that's the name of the show,
the
right?
The show's Talkward.
Yeah. Yes. Well, talking about awkward and stand-up stuff, the one that you and I share is through your National Lampoon work.
Yeah.
I was at some point I was nominated for, like, National Lampoon did a Twitter Awards show, and I got nominated and then, like, somehow voted into, like, a finalist situation.
Yeah, it was like an award show.
Yeah, and it was in L.A.
It was at the Improv?
Yeah, it was at the West Hollywood Improv.
Yeah.
And it's one of the two worst shows I've ever done. It was, when people say, when people are like, what's your worst bomb ever? I'm like, well, there's two. There's one in Louisville, Kentucky, October 24th of 2008. Louisville, Kentucky, and... It was that one, just real quick, that's certainly awkward. It was like the night before it went fucking great. And it was like very early on in my stand up, obviously almost a decade ago, you know. and it was my first real road weekend, and like the first show went great, and I'm like, oh, I get it. Yeah, this will be easy. I guess comedy's easy now. And then the first show on Friday went great again, mm-hmm. and then this was the late show on Friday, which tends to be the nastiest one because the late show on Saturday, people at least plan to be out at that time.
Yeah.
Late show Friday, they like left after work, got hammered. Yeah. And then by late show, they're not even like fun hammered anymore. They're like either sad or angry or asleep.
They're slumped somewhere. Yes.
So this was like, I was the middle act, which in a typical stand-up comedy show, you got the MCs on for like 10 minutes, and then the middle goes on for like a half hour, and then the headliner is 45. And I was the middle guy at that time, and it was just like, it wasn't like no one heckled, no one booed. It was just 30 minutes of fucking silence, and it was like aggressive silence. It's just like, I mean, it was like speaking a different language, and I couldn't understand what was happening. This has never happened before. It's never happened since like that, and I was so just like stunned by it as I as I walked off stage. I couldn't even fully get out of the room. I just like sat at a table like on my way out.
You joined the blinking silent crowd.
Yeah, believe it or not, it wasn't a packed audience for this headliner, but yeah, and I just sat in the crowd and I was just stunned for a minute, and I was like, what am I doing? I gotta get the fuck out of here. What, why I just stopped in the crowd? It looks like I just volunteered to be on the show at that point. So that was terrible. And I went back to my comedy condo, which is when a comedy club is too cheap to give you a hotel room. They buy like the shittiest condo in the neighborhood.
It's
and
like
just
a hostel.
Like, yeah, and it's disgusting because only comics live there. Like a different one every weekend. So I remember I woke up the next day, and in my sleep, I was so stressed out in my sleep that I woke up and I like was sleeping in a white undershirt. Woke up and I had just like lost a bunch of hair onto my shirt. Like hair had fallen out.
You're shedding.
I had shed from stress in my sleep. Where it's just like, I mean, it sounds like hyperbole, but in the moment I was like, like, is my life over? like, is this, like, this is what I thought it was going to do?
Is this how it ends?
Yeah, and at this point, like, I had, you know, I things went really well. Like, high school and then college, I was, like, a big shot hosting the show. I interned at Letterman. I got hired as a writer there. So I was like, this seemed to be what my life is going to be. And then I was doing stand-up. Things were going well. And at that point, I was, like, 24. Yeah. And, it's, like, 26, I guess. But and then I woke up and just, like,
you woke up and you're like, did I get cancer yesterday and now I'm dead?
Basically.
Like, I went from zero to dead in one day.
So that's one of the two biggest bombs. And the other is the National Lampoon Award Show, which we hung out before. And this is what happened. So there are famous people involved in this.
It was like an industry show.
Yes.
Right. So it wasn't a comedy audience.
No.
It was a bunch of writers, performers. Right. It was like all the writers of Modern Family, Family Guy, right. Comedy Central, like they were all just in the audience hanging.
Yeah. And
this was an award show that was about being popular on Twitter.
Yes.
Okay.
And I did a show in LA before that, like that same night before, and I went on in between Marc Maron and Sarah Silverman, and I had never met Sarah before and talked to her briefly, and she was very nice. And she was nominated for a Twitter award show thing too. So I was like, oh, you know, she said nice things. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, this is great. And I guess I'll see you at the West Hollywood Improv in like an hour or something.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm not going to that. She's like, that's going to be terrible. And I was like, what? No, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's a show. And this is like 2011 or something. So I've been doing stand-up for significantly longer at that point.
Yeah.
And so I get there and I'm like one of the first comics on. And not only is it not a comedy audience, but it's people who are popular on Twitter there and nominated for stuff. So it's like they're this like snarkiest and people who never put themselves personally on the line. They just snipe from behind a computer, which is whatever, but that's their thing. So and then there's a screen and they're tweeting about you while you're on stage. And the tweets are scrolling behind you. It's the worst idea of any performance. And so literally before my first joke, some people say I look like Tom Hanks. Before my first joke, someone writes Bomb Hanks and it scrolls behind me. I haven't even said anything yet. And they're just like, it'd be funny if he was bombing because he looks like Tom Hanks. Bomb Hanks. So there's a laugh at that. There's a laugh about me bombing before I even talk. So.
And then there was a magician before you. Remember there was a bird?
Yeah.
And the bird like flew.
It was loose.
The blur, like there was like this dove,
yeah,
just flying around the audience, and it landed on someone's head, like right in yes, front of you, and you made some joke about the dove,
yeah,
and that joke did well, and everything else didn't.
No, here's the thing: it was a 5-minute set.
Yeah,
it's one of the two worst bombs of my life in 1,500 stand-up shows, and one of the two clear bombiest, and. The first joke went very well.
Yeah.
And the last joke went very well. So in a 5-minute set, that doesn't leave a lot of room to bomb, but the middle was so fucked up that I was so depressed when I got back to my I was staying at a friend's apartment in West Hollywood, this lovely apartment, and it could have been a very nice stay. And first thing I do whenever I get into town anywhere is I buy a bottle of liquor. So I have it there, so I'm safe. I was so depressed I couldn't drink. That was a first.
You were so mad.
I couldn't open the jack. I was like, I can't even get there emotionally.
You were so happy when I first saw you at the show. Mm. And the audience, I mean, it was like a pretty packed crowd.
Yeah.
And
it's
you,
not like
you
booing.
You walked off the stage and you were just like, looked at me, you were just like, and you were just like sat down and yeah. you just like, and I think Carrie Kaiser was there.
Yeah.
You just like sat there quietly. And you were, the first thing you said was, I just did a show with Sarah Silverman and Mark Maron and I killed. And yeah. then I came here.
Yes.
That was pretty much all you said.
Yeah. And it was just like, and it's, again, it's not like there was booing, but it's just like people just aren't paying attention.
Well, no, everybody else, like, if you, and as you started doing your comedy, and because I remember I tried to tell you, I said something, I said like, just do Twitter-related things. And you're like, no, no, I got this, Marty. And then you did, like, regular stand-up person jokes.
Well, it's a stand-up
I
set.
I know,
you
but
don't,
I
don't.
I
read
sort of,
Twitter stuff.
I know, and I realized the direction the show was going too late.
Yeah.
And everybody else that went up there just, like, literally Jeffrey Ross went up there and read his phone.
Right, but that didn't go well because he was reading the phone. That went well because it's LA and he's Jeff Ross.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, nobody was doing material. They were just like, blah, 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 hashtag right. bullshit. You know, like, that's the only thing.
But I went up first.
Exactly.
Yes.
You went up first. And then I was like, oh, this is how the show goes.
Right, yeah.
Because he was like... And then, Rob Delaney was, like, everybody was there.
Yeah,
Kelly
exactly.
Oxford was
well,
there.
Well, like, Delaney did stand up, but also, like, he had his Delaney people there.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Andy Dick came on and lost his mind, which is, you know, that's good. That's what he does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was, that's a you and me thing.
Uh-huh.
And so that, it's appropriate when you were like, you know, the show's awkward. It's awkward stories. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. One of the most awkward moments of my career. Was that, and that's the thing that we were both there for.
We were both there for that. That was fun.
Yeah, the rest of the trip was great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that one late show. And that was another, I think that was also, I don't know, it was a Thursday, because I know that what the show was, the show I did before that was like a weekly at, on Thursdays. But it was like, the show didn't, it was like a 10:30 p.m. start.
Yeah.
It was like a late Thursday show at the West Hollywood Improv with a bunch of fucking tweet people.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean, and I don't know if you're noticing this more, but I'm seeing a lot of the younger comics will literally go up on stage and their stand-up set is them reading their funny tweets from their phone.
I feel like I'll see that. You'll see. I mean, I haven't been to a mic in a while, but
that's
I used to see that at like open mics.
Yeah.
I don't. I feel like I don't see that a lot at
not
show
like a real,
shows.
Not a show.
But what I will do is like Twitter for me is kind of at Kevin McCaff. Twitter for me is just like. That's sort of my rough draft spot.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, put it out there if it gets a pop. And then so when I'm like looking for new stand-up to do, I'll scroll through my Twitter and be like,
what's
oh, what have I talked about recently?
How hard is it? And I mean, I see, as now I'm discovering Twitter, you write a joke and it does well or not. You can tell immediately if your tweet is funny, right? Like, it's one of those, like you can
yeah,
say,
usually,
oh,
yeah.
maybe no one saw it. Mm. If you write something funny, someone always likes it or retweets it. Like,
usually.
You see that pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it has to be so hard with comedians, with repeating material that other people. Everybody has the same ideas sometimes,
right?
So,
unless you're doing like absurdist stuff,
right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're commenting on the news or like you're live tweeting an award
people
ceremony
make the same
or
jokes.
Something, it's a lot of the same jokes. Yeah, yeah, and a lot of that shit it just wouldn't play on a stage,
right?
You know, so there are people who are really funny on Twitter but aren't. Good in person, you know, all the time. But for me, it's a good place. Like, oh, sort of the thesis or the central point of a joke sometimes will be a tweet, and then I'll like see if I can work it into a larger bit on stage.
More than 140 characters.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like social media in general has done something that traditionally it seemed like comics were very isolated. And now they have much more of this community that they didn't have as much before.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, they're in the comedian community can happen a little more besides just like super late drunk at bars.
Yeah.
You know, because it used to.
Have to be either super drunk or at a AA meeting.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Which I find to be the two different sides of comics.
It pretty much is.
Either you're drinking or you're not.
Right.
Those are like the two types of comic that
I feel like, yeah, sobriety got really hot about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe even more than that. But like, yeah, there's a lot of like very much sober comedians, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you got the sound effect board. I love that.
I forgot that I had this.
Oh, man. I have to take a picture on this setup. I'm so, perfect. I'm so intrigued by the whole setup of this.
It's a sitcom laughter.
Yeah.
And then when you feel sad, you can just say this and people love you.
That's nice. We got a whole. We're working all the emotions here.
It's good. Do you have a good joke?
Hey, man.
I got it all. I wasn't sure when you said you had a story about stand-up that was awkward. I thought maybe he'll talk about the show you actually did really, really well in, but it was in that hostel basement.
A hostel basement.
It was like upper West Side.
Oh yeah, that.
And I was in a. It was like a hostel, and everybody was foreign.
Yes.
And then I was there.
I used to do that show occasionally. It just is like a workout, basically, because if you have material that does well with a bunch of Europeans who are basically speaking English as a second language, then you know that's a certain kind of that material translates in a certain way, right?
Yeah.
It makes you less reference heavy, which I think can be good.
Yeah.
So also that I forget which hostel there was two on the Upper West Side that we would do from time to time, but so I forget which one this was, but one of them. Is one where like comedians of like my age will talk about like, oh yeah, one of the steps in your career is when you stop doing that show.
Yeah.
Like is when you just stop returning the emails for that show. That the most awkward thing that happened at that show, God bless him, there was a guy who booked one of these two hostels, the one I'm talking about at least, who he would do the same joke every week and it was a prop joke. He would be like wearing fake dynamite somehow, and he would like open his jacket and he would have this fake dynamite, whatever. I don't know. At this point, it seems like someone might, you know, think it's real and shoot him or something, you know. But
was it just like to terrify the audience?
I don't even remember what the joke was, but he revealed dynamite anyway. This guy, nice dude, but kind of a goof.
Yeah,
like he, when I was working at Letterman, he asked me, like, he was like, you know, could I submit as a writer? And it's like, man, you know. Not really, but I was like, yeah, call the, you know, call the Late Show phone number. Here's the phone number and ask them, you know, see if they can send you a packet. And then he emailed me a packet. He's like, this is my packet for Letterman, if you could hand it forward. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to, but also everything had like Jimmy as the host. And I was like, God damn it. You gotta change the host name, my friend. You can't, I don't know if this is for Kim or Fallon, but it's, you can't send that to Dave. So anyway, that guy, he's a weird guy. And as I was walking up to his hostel, maybe the last time I did it, some guy crossed in front of me and just started like rooting around in like the garbage area outside this place. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to do him the favor of not, you know, you just don't look at him, let him do his thing. And then I heard someone go, Kevin, and I turn around, and it's the guy who books the show is digging through the trash, and I'm like, dude, don't make it so that I see you. Even if I know it's you, let's pretend I don't know it's you. And then he holds up a vacuum like he won something. He's like, I needed a vacuum. I'm like, oh boy, this is a sad moment.
The secret works.
Yeah, I put it out there in the universe. Put a vacuum out there. Yeah, but that was,
That's awesome.
And then a bunch of Europeans, so yeah, that's a little awkward. A
little awkward.
A little awkward, a little talkward.
A little talkward for you.
Hostile, yeah.
What did I have a list of things
to
keep myself on schedule. I've done none of them. Oh, I always think I want to play a game, but I never actually want to play a game.
Yeah.
But I want to play the sound effects for the game, so maybe we'll play a game.
Sure.
So we can play a true or false game.
Okay, sure.
I don't know, maybe I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
Kevin McCaffrey is a frequent attendee of WrestleMania.
A frequent, no, but I did go once.
I thought you went like every year.
No, I went. I mean, I watch it. I've watched it the last few years, but I went to WrestleMania 30, New Orleans.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I have the photo proof. Fun, not really awkward thing, though it could be, I guess. We saw a great thing about being anywhere WrestleMania weekend is the wrestlers are just in the general population, yeah. And they're so weird, such a weird caliber of person to mm-hmm. be out there. And I saw this guy coming out of a strip club whose name is Alberto Del Rio in mm-hmm. wrestling, and so I started doing his chant, and then we saw him get right into character. He's a bad guy, he's a heel,
yeah.
And so he looked around and people were chanting for him because a bunch of wrestling nerds on Bourbon Street,
yeah.
And then he's like, I got to do a bad guy thing, so he grabbed Jamie, my wife,
yeah.
He grabbed Jamie's drink. Took a swig and then ran away, and I got a picture super up close. I was just snapping photos, so I have a picture of Alberto Del Rio stealing Jamie's drink,
assaulting your wife.
Yeah, but stealing from.
Yeah. We don't want to cross any lines.
No,
I don't want to get him in trouble.
Yeah.
True or false? Someone blew up your car.
That is true. Someone blew up my car with a pipe bomb in the summer of 2001.
Look at them.
Yeah.
Bet you didn't know that, listening audience.
No, that's one of those stories where whenever it comes up, once I've made friends with someone, it comes up and they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, oh yeah, that should be one of the first ones that I go to.
It's like a Kevin McCaffrey wiki here tonight.
Kevin's car was blown up by a pipe bomb in suburban Chicago.
Wow. Yeah. The carnage of Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Place is dangerous. Talking about.
Clarendon Hills, Illinois.
It's
yeah.
very dangerous. That's pretty much on. Do you have any questions for me?
not off the cuff.
True or false, what is my favorite color?
True or false.
Is it blue?
I would say true.
It is true.
You're wearing sort of different blue tones right
do
now.
Do you notice that you don't try to do it, but if you look in your closet, all of your clothes look the same?
Yes, in different eras, because it's like I used to have a lot of like thin vertical subtle vertically striped stuff in like the mid aughts, and then it's been more checks, you know,
all of my shirts look like this shirt pretty much.
Well, because you see a shirt you like and you're like, that's what I like.
Yeah, I go shopping. I'm like, oh, that looks nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I did think it was nice because I bought it 19 times.
Yeah. Well, as you and I know from working at Letterman back in the day, Dave was exactly that way. I don't know if you ever saw the closet he had. He had a huge closet in the mailroom where it's like he had one pair of shorts that he liked.
Yeah.
So he's like, just buy all of those. So there's this. So there was a closet that has like, I mean, I'm honestly trying not to exaggerate. At least like 100 pairs of the same cargo shorts, and then 100 like of this one just gray late show T-shirt.
It makes getting dressed much easier.
Yeah. So he's just like yoink and just takes that outfit every day.
Yeah.
You know. When you're doing like 200 shows a year, like it's like
he wants to get dressed.
Yeah. Exactly. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me. What an easy talk it always is with you, Marty.
I didn't get to use that one.
That's okay.
That's okay. So when people are going to follow you now, where are they going to go to get schedule information? What's your website?
Twitter at Kevin McCaff. The website is Kevin-McCaffrey, MCCAFFREY.com.
Oh, this was a trivia question that I thought was, it is stupid, but I didn't remember it.
Sure.
I misspelled your last name in two different ways on the first sheet of this paper.
E-R-Y.
Which, correct. And what is the other way?
E-R-T-Y?
No, you're right on the end of the name. How did I misspell in the beginning of the name? I misspelled your name in two different ways.
Whoa, that's a tough one. You misspelled the beginning of McCaffrey?
Yes.
Oh, did M-A-C?
Correct.
Okay, there we go.
Yes.
Yeah, just M-C-C, baby.
Both correct. Well done. Nice. I noticed it. I was like, I spelled it not once, but twice incorrectly. And it's not that long of a last name.
Yeah, no, I bet it's weird. It's been misspelled many different ways.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I did my college TV show, I hosted the fucking thing. I was the host. And they misspelled both my names. Whoever's doing the credit misspelled Kevin. It was
how did they spell Kevin?
K-E-V-E-N. It was Kevin.
Kevin.
McFrey. M-C capital F-R-A-Y. It's like, you missed fucking every... You decafed my last name.
That could be... It's like your evil twin.
Yeah.
The evil version of
Kevin
you.
Kevin McFrey is a real
like
dick.
Like evil Superman.
Yeah, totally.
Kevin McFrey.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But, you know. So, Google me. I look Irish. That's the one.
That's good. And every month you do Serious Matters, the first Thursday of every month at Union Hall.
First Thursday of every month at Union Hall. UnionHallNY.com is that website. First Thursday of every month, Serious Matters. Befriend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and I'll post about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Marty. It's been a lovely time.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for listening. This has been Talkward, and we'll see you next time. Hear you next time.
Yeah.
I know.
Counts. Play yourself off.
I know. I'll do that.